So I grew up in a Christian family, so I've been going to church ever since, maybe before I was even born, in my mother's stomach. And when I was in elementary school age, I remember reading about the parable of the sower in church. I remember reading about this parable and trying to see what type of condition I was. I identified and classified myself as good soil, but I always wasn't 100% sure if I was really the good soil. There is one thing I remember that I don't identify with myself back then, and that was reading the Bible on my own time. Why? Because it was hard to understand. I thought I already knew enough from going to church, going to Sunday school, and going to church ever since I was born, so I thought I knew enough already. And besides, I've heard most of the stories, so younger me thought I knew enough of the Bible. Besides, reading fiction book or watching TV shows, playing video games, or sports seemed much more fun and exciting. Seems like a better use of my time. Anyone feel the same way or have felt the same way? You don't have to identify yourself, don't worry. Well, if you've been here for the past couple of weeks, we've been looking at this series of the Bible, learning about why it is important and why we should read it. Tonight is the last part of this series. So let me do a brief recap of what we learned the past few weeks. For the first week of the series, we looked at the theme of power. We learned that we are to recognize, appreciate, and revere the power in the Word of God. We are to put our trust in the Word of God because the Bible is the Word of God with power and authority and continues to change people's lives. If we choose not to read it, then we have chosen to disregard, reject, or even disrespect the gifts and promises God has given us. So in the first week of this series, we learned that it is important to believe in the power and authority of the Word of God. In the second week, we learned about the key of the Bible. So from the Garden of Eden to Calvary, from Genesis to Revelation, the books of the Bibles are not just 66 independent writings, but it's actually just one story of salvation. Every story in the Bible actually whispers Jesus' name. So, Jesus is the key to unlocking the entire Bible. And just last week, we learned about armor. We learned about protection. So, Jesus uses God's words, the Bible, to fight against the devil's schemes, and he showed us that he won against the devil, against the temptations. And because we know that God's intentions towards us are good, we can fully trust him and his word and use his words to train ourselves to use the Bible to expose Satan's lies in our lives. So today, for the last part of this series on the Bible, we're going to look at the parable I talked about earlier, the parable of the sower in Luke chapter 8. I'm sure a lot of you know this parable. It's a really well-known parable, so it's easy for us to think you already know enough about this passage. But one of the amazing facts about the Bible is that no matter how many times you read the same passages over and over time, each time we spend time on the passages, God's word will speak to us differently each time. So let's prepare ourselves to enter into God's word today in prayer. Let's pray. God, you are so great. We thank you for bringing each of us here tonight. We humbly come before you to ask you to speak to each one of us here. We pray for your spirit to come fill this place and turn our hearts towards you. Help us to hear what you have to say to us tonight. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Well, we're going to do something different tonight. I want all of us to read the first part of the passage out loud. So we're in Luke chapter 8, starting in verse 4. So I'm going to get everyone to stand. Let us all rise. And let us read out loud together verses 4 to 8. Only four verses. So let's start. 3, 2, 1. And when a great crowd was gathering and people from town after town came to him, he said in a parable, a sower went out to sow his seed, and as he sowed, some fell along the path and was trampled underfoot, and the birds of the air devoured it. And some fell on the rock, and as it grew up, it withered away because it had no moisture. And some fell among thorns, and the thorns grew up with it and choked it. And some fell into good soil and grew and yielded a hundredfold. As he said these things, he called out, "He who has ears to hear, let him hear." Indeed, let us who have ears hear. Thank you so much for participating and reading God's word together. You may take a seat. So in the passage that we just read, we see that Jesus mentions four different conditions where the seed was sown. First, it was on the path. Second, rock. Third, thorn. And the fourth, on good soil. And the results of these seed sown in these four conditions, on the path, it was trampled and devoured. On the rock, it withered and dried up. Thorns, it was choked. And the fourth condition, on good soil, it yielded a hundredfold. At first glance, this parable is about seeds and soil. What does it have to do with the Bible series we're talking about? And what does it mean? And what does it have to do with us? Well, those are the thoughts of the disciples of Jesus. And so, let's read verses 9 to 10. And when his disciples asked him what this parable meant, he said, "To you it has been given to know the secrets of the kingdom of God, but for others they are in parables, so that seeing they may not see and hearing they may not understand." So Jesus starts to explain the parable starting in verses 11. "Now, the parable is this. The seed is the word of God, the ones along the path, or those who have heard. Then the devil comes and takes away the word from their hearts, that they may not believe and be saved. And the ones on the rocks are those who, when they hear the word, receive it with joy. But these have no root. They believe for a while, and in time of testing, fall away. As for those what fell among the thorns, they are those who hear. But as they go on their way, they are choked by the cares and riches and pleasures of life, and their fruit does not mature. And as for that in the good soil, there are those who, hearing the word, hold it fast in an honest and good heart and bear fruit with patience." So Jesus explained that the seed is the word of God, and the four types of soil represent different responses to God's word. And important to note is that everyone has the same seed. The difference comes from how you and I receive the seed. And the soil is our heart, the condition of our heart. Each of us has been given a seed, God's word, but how have we received his word? Each of us have been given the exact same seed, and the difference is the difference condition of our hearts. Our hearts is what makes a difference in determining the outcome of the seed. Will it grow to be a hundredfold, or will it not? In this parable, which type of soil has God's word fallen onto in your life right now? Actually, let me rephrase that. What is the condition of your heart right now? So let's spend some time with the four types of condition that Jesus mentions. First condition is when the seed is scattered onto the path. The word of God is heard, but quickly stolen away by enemies. So Jesus is talking about someone who hears the word of God, but does not believe. So hears, but does not believe. In the second condition, the seed is thrown onto the rocks, so it's not able to take root in the soil. And in this condition, there may be little signs of growth, but is only on the surface level. And what this means? One believes, but falls away quickly because there is no root. It's a shallow and very surface level belief. So they believe, but does not have a solid foundation. So someone in this condition, when things don't go their way and they encounter challenges or obstacles, they fall away quickly. And for the third condition, when the seed is tossed among the thorns, it is well received and grown, but it is soon choked up by the riches and pleasures of life. So someone in the third condition is actually growing. They are growing through the word of God, but they do not prune. Well, to prune is not a very common word you may hear, unless you're in the agriculture, but to prune is to trim usually for a tree, shrub, or bush, by cutting away dead or overgrown branches or stems in order to increase fruitfulness and growth. So in this context, this person, the third condition, is growing but neglects to remove or even knowingly lets temptations, their own desires, their wants, ambitions, anything that can hinder them from fully following Christ, continue to have a shared space in their life with their faith. What this means is that someone believes, yes, they do, but because they may have lots of ambitions, to have power, fame, riches, pleasures, status, and just what our world and culture would call success and tells us is the goal of life. But I do want to know that I'm not saying these things are bad on their own, but because these things make it really easy for us, especially in our culture today, to be consumed by the things of this world. And so much so that they take over the space for God. They even take over our faith. And the danger is that these things take over as higher priorities in our lives instead of God. We let the finite things of this world become higher priorities in our lives over our almighty creator God. And so these three conditions we looked at just now ultimately all leads us to be spiritually dead. These three conditions of our heart leads us to spiritual death. Well, thankfully, there is still one more type of condition we have to look at. And the fourth condition is when the seed is sown in good soil. It grows, takes root, bears fruit, and produces a harvest. And so you may ask, there are very outcomes of the seed. And it probably stems from differing developmental conditions faced by the seeds. But a very important part for you to notice in this parable is that although there may seem like there are four different outcomes of the seeds, if you take a closer look, notice how there are actually only two outcomes for this seed. It's either life or death. Only the seed on good soil had life. All the other three conditions the seed was on resulted in death. So only two outcomes. You're either spiritually alive or spiritually dead. So what we're talking about here is important because this is about life and death. And the choice is actually up to us to choose. Are we living our lives to be spiritually alive, where we flourish towards life, towards the kind of life God has prepared for you and I to have? Or are we living a life that's heading towards being spiritually dead, where we're numb to God, where we're back to indulging our own sinful self? For example, if we see church and God just as only an obligation, a task to complete, or just a habit that you've developed, that may be a sign of spiritual death. Or if we view the Bible, reading the Bible as a chore, that may also be a sign of the condition of your heart. So ultimately, it comes down to is whether our hearts are receptive to God's word and his teaching. The world-creating, life-giving, and soul-saving word of God can make a massive impact in our lives and on eternity. However, the thing is that's hindering us is the condition of our hearts. Remember, we're all given the same seed, each of us. The problem is not the seed or the word of God, but the soil of our own hearts. The good news is that God actually wants to bring forth harvests in our lives. He wants us to yield plentifully, 100-fold. But we have to cultivate the soil of our hearts and be ready, be prepared. And just like the psalmist said in Psalm 1 about one who delights in the word. But his delight is in the law of the Lord, and on his law he meditates day and night. He is like a tree planted by streams of water that yields its fruit in its season, and its leaf does not wither. In all that he does, he prospers. So how can we be more like the person the psalmist describes in Psalm 1? What can we do to cultivate the soil of our hearts? Well, the first thing we can do is to receive the seed. If there is no seed, the word of God, there is no life. We need to have God's word in us. Receiving the seed equates to receiving the word of God. And how we treat God's word also matters. It means we treasure it. It means we treat it as the words of life. And how can we cultivate receiving the seed? Well, very simply, is to spend time reading the Bible, reading God's word. And the first thing you could do is to join and participate in our church's devotion plan, Enter Through the Veil. And together, we will read through and meditate on God's word as a church. Second thing we can do is to evaluate, to take care of, clean, to pay attention to the soil of our heart, to make sure God's word is able to grow on good soil. Make sure it is fertilized. And that could mean removing the thorns. Is there anything we need to remove from our lives for God? For instance, our time on social media, status updates, gaming, video, and streaming. Will these things help us bear more fruits or generate more thorns in our hearts? And if we are not mindful, these things may actually hinder us from spending more time with God and in His Word. And so what we can do is ask God to break up the hard, rocky, and thorny surface of our heart and turn over everything that has made our heart harden to Him. And know this, genuine hearing of God's word necessarily involves faith that perseveres despite challenges. And to withstand the obstacles and challenges of this life, we need to be in the Word. We need to read the Bible. We cannot truly live without the Bible. I know it's sometimes more easy for us to just want to identify what the condition of our soul is and just leave it at that. That's normal. But I challenge us to not settle for the norm. Let's not let the Word of God, the seed, to be stuck in thorny or shallow conditions. Let's cultivate our heart and the soil and not settle for the norm. Because you and I have the seed in us, so we have the potential to do more. Imagine if we all treasure the Word of God as a seed of life, as something that can transform our life. What if we meditate together and grow the whole community to be like that, to foster the seed that's in each of us? What if we take the initiative to allow the seed that's in us to grow and maximize the conditions for it to grow 100-fold and prosper? For example, when we come together as a group, why don't we try not just talking about food or weekend or what we did, but why don't we try talking about God's word and the treasures that we find in His word? Or why not try initiating a Bible study or reading a Christian book together with each other to grow together spiritually? I know some of us have already been doing that. So why don't we do more of that? Because without the Bible, we cannot know the condition of our soil, our hearts. So don't settle for the ordinary. Cultivate your heart to allow God's word to transform your life. God's word, the Bible, is the book of life. It tells us and guides us to become who God intended us to be. So let's not settle for the ordinary. Cultivate the soil of our hearts and allow the seed that's in us to flourish. And if you have God's word, you have the potential to do more, to actualize God's purpose for you. God's word, the Bible, can transform your life. Remember how I shared earlier of when I was younger and I didn't understand why reading the Bible was important because I already knew all the stories and thought I knew enough about the Bible and about God? Well, an example of God's word once again transforming my life was during my time in university. I was studying business, and because of the environment of business school, I hadn't realized that somehow thorns were growing. It wasn't until I got a chance to pause and read this passage, the parable of the sower, that I was convicted. I realized that thorns had crept into my heart without me knowing. That's the scary part. This parable contributed to why I decided to change the trajectory of my career from doing something in business to actually going to school for theology, and also how I end up up here today talking to you in church at Koinonia. So that is why, just an example of why the Bible is so important, because it will transform your life. It will change your life. It will impact you. And the Bible will be God's way of talking to you, speaking to you. So for the last few minutes, I want us to actually go into a time of reflection and prayer. I want you to think about which of the four types do you resonate with today. Are you alive or dead spiritually? And lastly, I want you to go into a time of prayer and confession to God. Are there any thorns in the way of the seed that's growing in your heart? Are you living the way God has intended you to live? Are you treasuring His Word, the Bible, as you should be? So let's take 3 minutes to reflect. God, we praise you for giving us your words so we can know you. And through knowing you, we're actually learning more about ourselves, who you made us to be. And through the Bible, we are able to see more clearly, to hear more clearly, and truly live as what you would have intended us to live. So Lord, I pray that you help us to desire your word, a desire to open your word, the Bible, a desire to experience your power, your presence, and to receive the blessings that you have intended for us today. God, let us help us to all hold fast to your word with an honest and good heart, and bear fruit with patience. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.